It's the Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve. On this day in 2018, Aretha Franklin died in Detroit at the age of 76 years old. The Queen of Soul, Elvis and Aretha, both dying on the same day, on August 16th. She sold more than 75 million records worldwide, 15 top 40 hits. Amazing voice. Think the original version we hear as Aretha Franklin passed away 4 years ago on this day. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. Dr. Curry Myers is on the phone lines, criminologist, university professor, retired sheriff. He's done work with the Texas Public Policy Center and also with rightoncrime.com. Dr. Myers, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Recent polling will tell us that Americans are a little worried about their safety, worried about crime in their areas. Is it just a feeling, or do we know, can we see that crime is becoming an increased problem here in the country?
Well, we've definitely seen an increase in violent crime going across the country, especially in more urban areas. Crime in general in some areas have been increased, mainly due to the criminal justice public policy that we're using, especially with respect to bail. We're letting out repeat offenders, and these recidivists continue to, conduct themselves with criminal activity really unabated.
Let me ask about that. I keep an eye. I'm originally from Illinois. I've been here in Michigan for years, but in Illinois, they're about to have a law go into effect that eliminates bail completely from the state for tons of crimes in the state. Is that a trend? Do we see other states leaning in that direction too?
We've seen some. Some are actually reexamining some of their bail laws because they went a little lenient, too lenient. I'm not against bail reform. There are some crimes that could be put into categories where bail should be considered. I tend to think more about criminal history as opposed to the crime itself. You can have, bail and cashless bail and OR bonds, owner cognizance bonds, are really there for first-time offenders, maybe an offender who hasn't committed a crime in a long time reoffends. Those are candidates for bail reform. The problem that we're running into is we're no longer treating criminal history in reality, and instead we're looking individually at the crime itself that is being committed. You really have to look at the criminal history of the offender and then determine bail based on that criminal history.
Talking with Dr. Curry Myers here on the Steve Gruber Show. You mentioned some changes in approaches to fighting crime and crime prevention. I was talking with someone from the Manhattan Institute earlier this week about that, the broken windows philosophy of fighting crime and how it worked in New York City under Rudy Giuliani. Can broken windows today work the way it did 20 years ago, 25 years ago?
Absolutely. Broken windows is a popular theory, and it's one that I think is applicable over time in history. That the focus really for law enforcement should be on violent crime and recidivism. And when I say law enforcement, I just don't mean police officers in the street. Law enforcement in the criminal justice system is not only law enforcement, but effective prosecution, effective courts, and effective corrections. So they're really all supposed to work together. So I think as a whole, the criminal justice public policy system should be focusing on violent crime and recidivism. We should also focus on evidence-based policing, and that goes back to what you just referred to, which was called the Comstat area in New York. It may be that New York went a little far on search and seizure in many ways, so you can still do evidence-based policing in Comstat by not having Fourth Amendment violations. So I think we can go back to that evidence-based policing theory. It has proven to work. It's worked in small communities. It's worked in the largest community, New York City, when they implemented Comstat, became one of the safest bigger cities in the world as a result. The other is a lot of people need to understand that we need to properly fund law enforcement. and we should not fund them through fines, fees, and forfeitures. I've written many papers on the use of profit in policing, and police departments should not be in the situation where they're put, where they have to supplant their own budgets. So we need to properly fund law enforcement through general funds. They need to be funded to include not only operations and personnel, but focus on new training standards, outcomes-based training, which is a little bit more practical experience in classroom. And lastly, I mean, we are facing a societal and quite frankly, cultural breakdown with respect to life and human dignity right now in our society. So we have some work to do as parents and as a society in general to focus on life and how important it is.
We got about 60 seconds here, Dr. Myers. The defund the police movement, are we past that yet, or is that something that we still have to be wary about in terms of fighting and making sure people know why that's such a bad idea?
I think we're past the term defund movement, but that doesn't mean that our friends that believe in that are not looking at ulterior ways to defund. So I think we have to be careful when people start saying, yeah, we don't believe in that anymore, because I've seen trends where they say they want to defund, but they end up defunding through some other means. So I'm still cautious, but certainly I think the Overton window, if you will, has changed considerably away from that defund movement. And unfortunately, it's affecting law enforcement throughout the United States with respect to recruiting, retention, and when you have recruiting and retention problems, then you're really at risk of not being able to serve the public out on the street.
Dr. Curry Myers, thanks for joining us.